It's that time again for kingdom building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with kingdom building.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. You're promising righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part?
WAIF as a community radio station serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So glad that you've joined us here today, and as always, we have a topic we're going to discuss, and you're all welcome to join in if you like. Also, Mike, we have a member-thon, or is that
still
over?
Still on.
Still on. We got a member-thon. We need your support for the station and your support for Kingdom Building to stay on the air. So let's put together, rub a few nickels together and send them in. Okay, I'm Rich here with Mike and Oscar, and we are going to be with you the next hour. And it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like
okay.
I said, it's a nine-hole day.
Man, I can't believe it's two months away from the end of the year. I mean, whew, man, this year flew by. Did this year fly by more so than any other year?
Like it.
I know it did for me.
The older you get, the faster
That's
they
what
go.
They say. I was waiting for someone to say that.
I'm pretty young, but I know how about that.
Yeah, right. We all are. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, God bless you, Cincinnati. We're so glad that you've tuned in today, and we're going to talk today about truth. Wow. You know, you just wonder, is there any left out there? Well, yes, we got good news. Yeah. There is. There truly is. But guys, I'm going to start things off today with this. I don't think they do it anymore, but we're old guys, and back in the day, when we studied about George Washington, what was one of the things we studied about?
Well, that he didn't tell a lie.
Well, okay.
He didn't chop down a cherry tree.
There you go. Okay, that's where I was going. That he didn't tell a lie, and he didn't chop down the cherry. Okay, but the word is he confessed to chopping down the cherry tree. Remember? He said,
right.
I cannot tell a lie. I did it.
Right.
Okay. Folks, I'm here to tell you that was a myth. Okay. So I'm going to give you the real story right now. Okay. The real story is that he did not cut down a cherry tree. All right. So the original story, and this is the truth, according to biographers, George Washington, says the original story, when Washington was 6 years old, he received a hatchet as a gift, and he went out and he started hacking up his father's cherry tree, just kind of hitting it with the hatchet and kind of scruffing it up a little bit and damaging it a little bit. Well, when his father discovered what he had done, he became angry and he confronted George. Young George bravely said, I cannot tell a lie. I did cut it with my hatchet, but he never cut it down. Big difference, right?
Big difference.
Big difference between cutting this tree down and just hacking it up a little bit. Washington's father embraced him and rejoiced that his son's honesty was worth more than 1,000 trees. Mm-hmm. Here is a story that's been passed down throughout years about a supposed true event that didn't even happen. It's not even true. Mm-hmm. You remember that game back when we were kids? We didn't have video games, and we only had three TV stations to watch.
Truth or Dare? Or
no. Telephone.
No, I don't know.
You never heard of that?
No.
Oh, we used to play it all the time. Yeah. You get in a circle. We play it at school, even. And you would definitely play it at birthday parties and stuff like that. You get in a circle, put everybody in a circle, and someone would whisper something, like either a statement or a riddle or something, to the first person.
Oh. And it would get pass it on.
You called it pass it on? Okay, yeah. So we called it telephone. And so that next person would whisper to the next person exactly what that person said. And then it went to the next, the next, the next, the next, all the way around the circle. And then the last person would say what the person previous to them had told them. And I'm telling you, it was never the same.
It was never the same.
Never. It was never, never, never the same. So, you know, what is truth anymore? And we're gonna go and dig into the Bible, and we're gonna tell you what truth is, or at least who truth is. But the interesting thing is, we're gonna talk, after we give some definition and stuff, we're gonna talk about how Pilate even asked Jesus the question, "What is truth?" Mm-hmm. So anyway, the simple definition drawn from what the Bible teaches is that truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. I like that. Even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. That is the biblical meaning of truth. I'll take it further and give you the Strong's definition of truth. It's truth is of a truth in reality and in fact. That, and I like this part. This is what I like. That candor of mind, which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, and deceit. And that word candor means the quality of being open and honest in expression and frankness. Okay, so let me just say that again. The candor of mind, which is free from, where do most of these untruths come from? Affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, and deceit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that where most lies come from? And that's what we're talking about. Anything that's not true is a lie.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, and some people aren't necessarily out there trying to lie. They give their opinion, which... Give the definition, Oscar, of opinion.
Well, opinion is something that falls short of the truth.
There you go.
But nowadays you hear truth called hyperbole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times you heard that in the last few years? A lot of times if you listen to any news at all, hyperbole. Well, that's not true.
No.
Truth is truth, and truth. Lie is a lie.
There you go.
You know, there's no hyperbole. There's nothing else.
It's black and white.
Black and white.
There's no gray area.
That's right.
At all.
That's right.
Well, we're going to start things off here, folks, with some truth. You ready for some truth, Cincinnati? We're going to give you some truth. There is only one truth, and that's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He clearly said that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
Well, that's it. That's everything. It's definitely, it says, I am the way, or you can say it this way, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Okay, that pretty much lays it out that if it's not based in him, there's a good chance it's not the truth. And it says, and he also says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Mm-hmm. The truth is going to make you free. Well, who's the truth? Jesus.
Jesus, that's right.
So only Jesus can make you free. If you're not free out there, guess what? You're not allowing Jesus to make you free. He wants to set you free. He wants to take you out of your prison or wherever you feel bound up. Today, we're gonna expect God to set some people free today. So that's the whole purpose of this topic, is to get free. And the only way you're going to get free is by the truth. And the only truth there is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So anyway, I'm going to give you one more scripture, and then I'm going to just tell you real quickly about what I told you earlier about Pontius Pilate. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, here it's a big circle. It's a big, beautiful circle. It says, now we're back to making you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, guess what? You shall be free indeed.
Right.
Okay? So there's the big circle. You got to start with the truth, which is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Then what that truth does is makes you free.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, where it says, and you shall be free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that free from the deeds that you've done.
Good. That's good.
You've been set free from that. When you have the Son who is the truth, He sets you free from all past deeds. You've been totally forgiven.
Wow, someone just got set free on that one. Because, you know, too many people are living in the past.
Mm-hmm, they are.
You know, and they're worried about all these deeds that they had committed and that they know they weren't inspired by the Lord.
Right.
Okay, that's very good. Excellent, excellent. Okay, if you want to turn to John 18, I'm just going to read this. It's self-explanatory, but it is powerful. This is when Jesus met with Pontius Pilate. He says, my kingdom doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I would be handed, so I would not be handed over to the Jews. But I am not that kind of king, not the world's kind of king. Then Pilate was, you could tell he's confused. He said, so are you a king or not? Jesus answered, you tell me. I love that. You tell me, because I am a king. I was born and entered the world so that I could witness to the truth. Everyone who cares for truth, who has any feeling for the truth, here you go, folks, this is the million-dollar thing here, recognizes my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
That's good.
They know my voice. They know my voice. That small, still voice sometimes comes in loud and clear. Pilate comes back and says the million-dollar question, what is truth? Then he went back out to the Jews, told them, I found nothing wrong with this man. That's the truth. He came right back out. He says, what is truth? Well, he came right back out with the truth. He said, I found nothing wrong with this man. It's your custom that I pardon one prisoner at Passover. Do you want me to pardon the king of the Jews? And we understand from that point on that it was Barabbas that was pardoned. So, but it's just interesting that I love what Jesus says, so that I could witness to the truth, not witness the truth, because he was the truth. Mm-hmm. Witness to the truth, everyone who cares for truth. And I don't think everyone cares for truth anymore.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think the truth is just played with fast and free, you know, where they just, well, it's true for today, but it, you know, tomorrow may be another story, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think everyone in this day and age cares for the truth. But Jesus said, if you care for the truth, who has any feeling whatsoever that you want the truth, then recognize my voice. Well, not only did Jesus speak in the Bible, because it's very clear he's speaking right now, so mm-hmm. we have an opportunity to recognize his voice mm-hmm. from the scriptures, but we also have an opportunity to recognize his voice in our prayer time. I mean, I've heard his voice in a busy highway driving down the road with secular music on. Right. I mean, he can speak to you in any situation there is.
Right.
So anyway, just want to get started with that. And I've got some more scriptures, but I want to kind of open it up and see your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, Rich, I was just looking at the Gospel of John. Verse 14,
mm-hmm.
it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father," and I love this last part, "full of grace and truth."
There you go.
And you know, he was the truth. He was the grace of God revealed to man.
Yes, he was.
And when we come to realize, if we come to know him, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free.
Amen.
And if you don't know him, then you're not free.
I mean, you may think you are.
You're walking around in bondage, whether you
yeah,
know
you
it or not.
You may think you are,
you're
but you're not.
You're in bondage to your conscious, you know, you're conscious of things that you've done in the past. You're in bondage to any habits that you have or anything else. But when you know him, he begins to set you free from those things. And because he is the truth, and he was the one that came mm-hmm. to set the captives free, like it says back in Isaiah. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, he came in and picked up the book and began to read. And when he began to read, he basically began to tell them that he had come to set the captives free.
Yes.
And if you're captive to anything today and you want to be free of it, the way to get free of it is to invite him, who is the truth, to come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's declared that if you know the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And he's the truth.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah. It's very simple.
I mean, you don't have to really try to analyze that.
No,
it's very, very clear.
Yeah.
And then Jesus even said, you know, he had to leave the scene, but he wasn't going to leave us alone.
That's right.
So we sit there and say, well, Jesus was here, so it was easy to recognize the truth and all. Well, he's still here.
Right.
In the form of the Holy Spirit. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth,
right.
is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Yeah.
He's going to guide us to that Jesus Christ that
yeah.
we're talking about, right. because when we see him as he is, we will be like him.
You know what? And he is the comforter. He said, if I don't go away in the natural, in the flesh, he said, the Father, the comforter can't come. Because he was the comforter. You couldn't believe that his spirit was inside of you as long as he was standing
right.
there in front of you. But once he wasn't standing there in front of them physically
yeah.
anymore, then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God came into their lives in a stronger way. And then they began to realize that they had the Spirit of truth dwelling inside of
us. That's it.
And you know, that's the neat thing about once you receive the Lord, you'll find yourself speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you say a misstatement, the Spirit of God inside of you will begin to deal with you, and you'll have to go back and make that right, usually, because
yeah.
God, he won't, that Spirit of truth inside of you won't let
you, know, I know,
you walk in a lie.
I know you guys experienced
you know.
This, too, and this is years ago, but where something, like you just said, where something
uh-huh.
happens and you just kind of pass it off, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of truth starts gnawing at you a little bit.
Right.
I can remember one time when I wasn't a Christian. This is 30 years ago. I wasn't a Christian, but probably a few months.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of truth was
yeah.
residing inside of me.
That's
because
right.
this would have never happened if it wasn't the Spirit of truth. But I used cash back then. I use credit card now, but
right.
I paid for something with cash, and I watched them give me too much change back.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as I took that money, put it in my pocket, and walked out that door, Man, the Spirit of Truth came upon me and turned me around and walked back and said, look, you gave me too much money and change. And she was like shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was like, oh, well, thank you so much for your honesty. Yeah, trust me, it wasn't my honesty. It was the Lord, the Spirit of Truth.
When you walked out the door.
Honesty. My honesty was walking out the door saying, whoa, I got an extra buck, you know. So, but I can remember that because it was like so, I mean, if I would have walked out to that car with that extra dollar or two or whatever and took off, it would have been bad.
Right.
I mean, it would have been bad. So I'm just thankful, and I give God all the praise, glory, and honor for being in us to the point where, you know, he guides us and directs us and does exactly what this scripture says, and that is that he will guide you into all truth.
That's right.
Not as the world sees truth, but only as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, sees truth.
You know, I want to go back to the beginning when you were talking about it and about the black and white, truth being black and white. And it is. It's either true or it's not true. Mm-hmm. But I also want to touch on the fact that, you know, we talk about it on this show a lot about everyone has a measure of faith in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you know, that measure of faith is also the spirit that gives us the opportunity to determine right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we seen people who have done something and say, you know, and they get caught and they say, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's, in that truth, you know, that, you know, we all know the truth. We all know the truth, mm-hmm. and the right and wrong is the truth. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ is the truth, because like we were talking earlier, when he died and left the earth, what he did is he sent the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is what's implanted that measure of faith in our lives.
That's right.
Amen. Well, we have a member-thon, Mike, so we're going to go ahead to that.
Thank you for tuning in to listener-supported WAIF Radio. We're in the middle of our fall member-thon. Help keep WAIF Radio on the air and indicate your support for this show by making a pledge right now. Your gift of $25 or more gives you voting rights at the WAIF annual meeting and the WAIF Alert newsletter. Please call 513-961-8900 or 513-749-1444 right now to make a pledge. You can also pledge online using PayPal by clicking the donate button on our website, www.waif883.org. If you pledge online, please indicate the name of the show you're supporting in the comments section so they get credit. Each show on WAIF has a minimum pledge level to meet, and you can help them reach that goal. Call now 961-8900 or 749-1444 or WAIF883.org and make your pledge of $25 or more to become a member of listener-supported radio WAIF Cincinnati. Thank you.
Okay, so
thanks for tuning in.
We need you to help us out. Help the station out. Help Kingdom Building stay on the air. If you like what you're hearing, little gift would be fine. If you've been giving in the past, doesn't mean that you have to give again. It just, if you can, do it. But if you can't, very much understandable. But for those that's listened to Kingdom Building for years, I mean, we've been on the air 15 so years, you know, and if you enjoyed things that you've seen, heard, maybe you didn't agree with everything, that's okay. But you've enjoyed some of the programming that you've received from us. We just ask you to just whatever you can. It doesn't matter what the amount is. It's just showing support. So thank you so much for your support. Okay, so if you just tuned in, you're listening to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. We're talking today about truth. And we talked about some different scriptures, but we most importantly talked about who the truth is, not what the truth is, but who the truth is. The truth is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And guess what? He doesn't lie.
That's right.
He tells the truth. So if he's telling you the truth, and he's telling you that he is the way, the truth, and the life, then guess what? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Period. Rest at ease. Settle it in your heart that this is truth. Let me tell you, if that's not truth, then Jesus, his whole ministry, the whole thing is a fraud. And trust me, it's not. So he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And you can trust in him. You may not be able to trust in people, but you can definitely trust in him.
You know, Rich, that story you told about the money, you know, receiving too much money. When I first got saved, I was working for a real big company, and it was a machine tool company. And before I got saved, you know, me and my brother used to drag race. And, you know, I took a dial indicator home so we could check the deck heights on pistons, you know. And I basically had the idea of borrowing it. Well, after I had it for a while, after we were put our motor together and everything and we checked everything out, I decided to keep it. Because I thought, well, they're not paying me enough money and all this and that, you know, and I was justifying keeping it. And I ground the serial numbers off of it, and I kept it. Well, after I got saved, one day the foreman came around, the assistant foreman came around, and he came around, and he was checking to see what tools people had out.
Inventory.
Yeah. And he came by, and he said, Oscar, he says, how many indicators you got? He said, you only have one here, don't you? And I did. I had one there. And I said, yeah. And he turned around and walked away. And the minute he walked away, it was like a voice spoke in me and said, nuh-uh, you have two. And I thought, oh, and I just felt like I sunk down. I thought, oh, my God.
I think we all
and
know
I
that
went,
feeling.
I went home, and I told Margaret, I says, I'm going to have to tell them that I stole that indicator. And she says, well, you might get fired. And I was our only source of income. She wasn't working. And we had two little babies at home. And I said, no. I said, I feel like I'm supposed to do that. And she says, well, maybe you shouldn't do that. I could have got fired. And, you know, I went in the next day, and I took the indicator back. And he walked by, and I said, Ed, come over here. I said, yesterday you asked me about, well, did I only have that one indicator? And I said, no. I said, I have two. I said, I've got one here. And I said, I stole it. And he says, well, you didn't steal it, Oscar. You just borrowed it. I said, no, Ed. I said, I stole it. I said, I ground this serial numbers off of it. I had every intention on keeping it. I said, if you want to fire me, I said, I won't be mad at you. I said, you'd be justified in firing me. And he said, no, Oscar. He says, you didn't steal that. You just borrowed it. And yeah. I mean, but see, that just goes to show you mm-hmm. how the Lord was taking care of me.
That's
even
right.
Back then. And then finally he said to me, he said, Oscar, he said, we've all taken home things right here one time or another. He said, no, you didn't steal that. He said, you just borrowed it. I said, well, okay, Ed. I said, I'm a Christian now. And I said, I feel like I had to tell you the truth. I said, you know, the Lord just told me when I told you only had one. I said, the minute you walked away, it was like the Holy Spirit spoke inside of me and said, no, you got two. And I said, you know, if you decided to fire me, I said, you'd be perfectly justified. And I said, I wouldn't be mad at you or anything. I said, because I stole it.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you didn't steal it. And right away, the Lord had turned him around, and he was on my side.
Yeah.
And
he was defending
me. I gave it back.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show you how much God's got you in control,
mm-hmm.
that if you'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll take care of you.
Yes, he will.
He will take care of you, and you don't have to worry about telling the truth, you know.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, people say, oh, young kids are very honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're sitting up in grandma's lap and she has bad breath, they'll go, Grandma, you have bad breath. Yeah, well. I mean, they're brutally honest in some cases. But then guess what? The world teaches them.
They tamp it down.
The world teaches them. By the time they get to be teenagers, they're lying a blue streak. Yeah. And I'm not saying every one of them, but I'll tell you what, I guarantee there's not a teenager on earth that hasn't lied to their parents at least once. But isn't that funny how God creates us in that situation as young kids where we're pure, you know, and we tell the truth, even if it hurts someone, not that they intentionally try to hurt someone, but they still tell the truth. But, boy, they learn to lie like a rug here after a few more years in school and whatever, but anyway, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you to worship God in spirit and in truth? What does that mean to you?
It means you have to be honest with yourself.
Okay.
Well, you know, one time years ago, and I'll tell you another quick story here. One time years ago, I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak on worship, and I never really had studied into the word worship to see what it meant. And we had this little dog, and we had actually gotten it from one of the brothers at church, and this dog was in terrible condition when we got it. I mean, they'd fixed it up. They had found it along the side of the road. And this little dog, anyway, it had lace. We had to do Lasix with it and all different kind of stuff. It cost me all kind of money. They talked Margaret into taking it, and I knew she'd take it because she's so soft-hearted, you know. And they had found it alongside the road, like I say. Well, anyway, I watched this little dog, and it would jump up, and when she'd come in the room, that dog was her dog, and it just loved her. It'd jump up on the back of her leg and just push on her leg and stuff until she'd acknowledge that little dog and pet it and all this stuff. And if I came in the house without her, it would, you know, it liked me okay, but it was her dog, you know. It would run all around the house looking for her, and it would run up the stairs and try to jump up on the side of the bed, which is our bed was real high, and it was a little bitty dog. And it would jump up just trying to see if she might be laying on the bed, just looking for her. And when you pet it, it would just fawn itself down and turn its head and just get in total submission to you. And when I did that study on the word worship in scriptures mean, this is the actual strong definition of it. It means to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand, to fawn, to prostrate, and do all that kind of stuff. And that's exactly what this dog did. And I physically could see this dog had done all that stuff. So when it says worship him in spirit and in truth, it's really saying put yourself in total submission to him. Mm-hmm. Give yourself totally to the Lord and the follow the leading of his Holy Spirit inside of you. And when you do that, he's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. Because just like a master of a dog, usually people love their dog about as much as their kids. You want to get somebody mad at you, hurt their dog in some way. And, buddy, they'll be ready to kill you over it.
Yeah, right.
And you, but you know, when you realize that he used something, a word that meant to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand to fawn and to prostrate, then basically what he's saying is, you know, you have to show him the love by putting yourself in total submission to him and letting him be Lord of your life.
Yes.
And when you do that, you're going to really be worshiping him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And that truth will set you free.
I love this. I'm just going to run through some scriptures, and we can just talk about the ones we want to talk about. So in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved?"
Yeah.
All men.
That's right.
That's what it says.
That's right.
And to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
There you go.
Interesting. The knowledge of the truth. Well, what is that? That is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The revelation so many people want to take the book of Revelation and start breaking it down into a natural book, and it's not a natural book. Mm-hmm. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ in us. And guess what? That's the knowledge of truth. I'll hit another one, then anyone you want to jump on. It says in James 1:18, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth.
Amen.
That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of truth. So you got the knowledge of truth. You got the word of truth. Then you got... in Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love.
That's right.
May grow up into him in all things, yeah, which is the head, even Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about us being the body, mm-hmm, the body of Christ. He's the head. Guess what? We are to grow up into the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think Jesus was telling the Father, you know, make them one as you and I are one. Mm-hmm. And when we see him as he really is, we will be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So Amen. Anyway, any thoughts on the knowledge of truth, the word of truth, and the truth in love? Any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I can give you one on the word of truth.
Okay.
John 3:16.
Yeah, there you go.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
That's the word of truth.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. He was that love revealed to the earth to take away the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not mad at you. You've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is receive that forgiveness. And buddy, I tell you, once you receive it, you'll be so glad you did. He is that word of truth.
Yeah, Jesus is not about religion.
No.
Okay? Man, there are so many religions out there, mm-hmm, that profess to be Christian. And I'm not saying they're not.
Right.
But I am saying this. You could even be in the same denomination and not believe the same way as the church in the same denomination down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I would love to get rid of all denominations.
Yeah.
Because seriously, what does that have to do with what we're talking about here today?
What is a denomination but a dividing?
It's a dividing.
That's what it is. It's a dividing thing.
Yeah, it makes division because this group believes in this. That group believes in that. Well, it's not the same thing. Well, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fellowship with people where they are. If
that's right.
If it's not what you believe, you know. And again, I'm not talking about something way out. I'm still talking about Christianity. I'm
right.
Still talking about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that's the only common denominator that you can fellowship with someone on, then fellowship with them on that. On John 3:16.
Right.
But don't sit there and have arguments over silly things that may not be silly to you, and I'm not saying that, you know, stuff that you believe is silly, but I'm just saying when it comes down to having an argument with a brother,
right,
is over doctrinal things is just such a waste of time.
That's right.
Fellowship with people where you can fellowship with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Isn't that why we have denominations? Because we're searching for the knowledge of truth.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is.
But the knowledge we're of searching, truth with this group is different than
that's
the knowledge
right.
of
and,
truth.
And that's exactly what, that's exactly my point. There may be 50 denominations, and you have 50 different interpretations of what the mm-hmm. truth is.
Well, you know, if you look at it, and the way the Lord kind of revealed that to me one time, you know, if you got a kindergartner, he's in kindergarten. And in kindergarten, I don't know what they do nowadays, but used to be they'd teach you A, B, C, D, E, F, G, count to 10, count to 100. That's truth to that kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's truth. But yet, when you get up into the first or second grade, they start teaching you a little bit about addition and subtraction. and about putting some of them letters together and making them into words, cat, dog, whatever they do. That's truth to them. That doesn't make the truth of the kindergartner any less. Mm-hmm. But yet the guy in the second grade can't look down on the kindergartner and say, oh, you're all wrong. He's not wrong. Mm-mm. He knows that on that level. And what we need to realize in God, there's different levels of understanding. Mm-hmm. And we need to not look down on someone who has a lesser level of understanding maybe than we do. And we need to love them. And we need to rejoice in the fact that they know A, B, C, and can count to 100, or that they can know how to add and subtract, but yet they don't know how to divide and multiply yet. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
God will reveal to them what he wants them to know eventually, and we should not look down on them, or they should not look at us and think, well, bless God, because I know how to add and subtract, and you're up there trying to multiply and divide, then all of a sudden your truth isn't the truth. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just stupid.
Right.
And it's just stupid. And that's the way, that's what religion does.
But, you know, sometimes. I can remember, right. You know, 30-some years ago, I was indoctrinated by a group, you know, after I got saved. Uh-huh. And so much of that went along the wayside. I don't believe that anymore, right. You know. And that's not saying that what they taught me, it was a bunch of garbage. That's right. Not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, gosh, if you, my prayer is, Lord, give me all I can handle today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pray that, let me tell you something, you're going to grow.
Right.
Because you're open to the leading of the Lord.
Right.
You're not bound by a denomination or a group or whatever that says, well, you can't believe like that and be in our church.
Right.
Well, that's just it, Rich. That's why people are continually searching for the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
And no matter what denomination you're in, you're searching for the truth in that denomination. And you, like you were saying before, you can be part of that and not believe everything that you're learning, mm-hmm. you know. But what are you doing? If you're in a split situation like that, you're still searching for the knowledge. And there's only, we start to show by exactly saying what the truth is. And that's Jesus Christ. And there's only one truth.
That's the only truth.
There's only one truth.
Okay, we got this member-thon.
Thank you for tuning in to listener-supported WAIF Radio. We're in the middle of our fall member-thon. Help keep WAIF Radio on the air and indicate your support for this show by making a pledge right now. Your gift of $25 or more gives you voting rights at the WAIF annual meeting and the WAIF Alert newsletter. Please call 513-961-8900 or 513-749-1444 right now to make a pledge. You can also pledge online using PayPal by clicking the donate button on our website, www.waif883.org. If you pledge online, please indicate the name of the show you're supporting in the comments section so they get credit. Each show on WAIF has a minimum pledge level to meet, and you can help them reach that goal. Call now 961-8900 or 749-1444 or waif883.org and make your pledge of $25 or more to become a member of listener-supported radio WAIF Cincinnati. Thank you.
Thank you for
your
support, and we want you to stay tuned and, you know, give us what you can so that we can stay on the air. The radio program, if you're new to WAIF, is not commercially based. You don't hear commercials on aluminum siding or what soft drink to drink or whatever. It's strictly listener supported, so with your support we can stay on the air. So thanks for your support, and we just pray that you do what the Lord tells you to do. So okay, this is an interesting one. It's we all know about the armor of God, you know, mm-hmm. the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace. But look at this one. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth,
mm-hmm.
and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, okay, but let's stick to that loins girded about with truth. It's interesting It's all the whole armor of God is very interesting to me. I love getting the visual of that, you know, and I think that's the whole purpose of that is to allow the natural to declare the spiritual. And so if the natural, if you're girding your loins, we don't gird our loins per se, use that vernacular at this point, because, you know, this was wartime. The way, you know, the helmet and all that, that's warfare. That's that's preparing for warfare. So I've not done a study on girding your loins with truth, but girding your loins, I think, is just getting everything out of the way, isn't it? So that you can run if you need to run, you can walk, you can move about, whatever. But anyway, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you.
I thought you would.
I knew you would have.
Well, if you look in the natural, your loins is the place on you and on people where new life is conceived and where waste in your life comes from. You know, where you expel it from your life. Now, that's your loins. Now, if you look at a man and you realize that in a man, that if you kick them in the loins, that's the worst thing you can do to a man. He's going to go down. And, you know, he's going to go down. And I'm going to tell you real quick, and I won't go into a big, long story on this, but in the Old Testament, when Jacob had his encounter with God and he changed his name, and it says there that it was, some places they call it an angel of the Lord, but if you really study into it, he really had an encounter with God. And I think he had an encounter with El Shaddai, God Almighty. It says that he grabbed him by the hollow of his thigh. And if you really look at that word, he grabbed him by the loins. That's the real meaning of that word. He grabbed him by the loins. And I got news for you. If you grab a man by his loins, he's going to do anything you want him to do. And
let me tell you a quick this old lady was in the dental chair, you know. She's getting some teeth work done, and she reached over and grabbed the dentist by the loins and said, "Now, Sonny, we're not going to hurt each other, are we?"
There you go. And let me tell you, when he grabbed him by the loins, then he began to ask Jacob, he says, "What's your name?" And when he was asking him what his name was, he was saying, "What's your nature? What's your character?" And his name meant heel catcher, supplanter, deceiver, all that kind of thing. And because he said, "I won't let you go," until he was holding on to God. He said, I won't let you go till you bless me. But he said to him, he said, "From henceforth, your name won't be Jacob anymore, but it will be Israel." And the name Israel means he shall rule as God. He shall rule as God. And let me tell you what, it said from that day forward, Jacob walked different. Now, a lot of people say, well, he limped because God got a hold of his thigh. But he walked different because his name had been changed. His name was no longer deceiver, supplanter, all of that kind.
He got rid of his mistaken identity and took the true identity.
That true identity was... He shall rule as God, and he shall rule as God in our life. And in the King James, it'll say that Jacob, that Israel means a prevailer with God, a prince with God. But really what it means is, if you actually look at Strong's, it means he shall rule as God, and he shall rule as God. When he rules as God in our life, we walk different.
Amen.
Our life begins to change.
That's right.
But praise God. I mean, I love that. And I'm telling you, if you're a man and somebody does something bad to your loins,
well, I remember
it takes the breath out of you, it takes the strength out of you.
When the bike would skip, the chain would skip, and you'd go down on that bar. You didn't want to ride the bike for a while.
Try for a little bit.
You didn't want to walk.
You had to lay on the ground and moan is what happened. Is really. So when you realize that, I mean, that's...
You have tears.
Yes.
So when your loins is girded about with truth, it's girded about with his presence, his life.
Yes,
and it can bring forth nothing but his life.
Amen. That's good. A couple more scriptures. We're running out of time, Cincinnati, so I wanted to get through these. This is a powerful, powerful scripture in John 1:14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Guess what? He was full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Now let me take that. I love that grace and truth. Let me take that to John 1:17, where it says, "For the law was given by Moses." Okay? Got that? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He didn't do away with the law, but he fulfilled the law.
He fulfilled
with his with the grace and truth that basically says, hey, all can come.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be my chosen people. This is for everybody.
Right.
He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believe in him shall have eternal life. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your heart today. Today. Right. You won't regret it. I promise you. You got three guys sitting around the microphone that there's never been one millisecond that I've regretted asking Jesus to come into my life. I mean, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful walk. It's great to know that God works all things out after counsel of his will. So when things happen in your life, you know, you can say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from it? What do you want me to accomplish by going through the things I'm going through? Because we're all going to go through stuff. That never ends. But what will end is you having a pity party on yourself saying, why me, Lord? Why me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? That'll go away, and you'll say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to go through this, but you're going to go through it with me, and this is your battle, not mine.
Right.
Well, guys, don't you think that that's one of the reasons that people struggle? They struggle with the idea that Christ loves them no matter what, that Jesus loves them no matter what. And that's why people are constantly searching for the truth.
Yeah. It's that unconditional love that typically you don't get anywhere else but by through him. Mm-hmm. You sit there and say, well, my spouse is unconditional. Well, you do something bad enough, and I guarantee that spouse is going to divorce you.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. I mean, if you know, there's people that think they need to stay in a relationship where they're being battered by a husband. No, get out. Mm-hmm. Get out. I mean, if you're being battered by your husband, guess what? That's not love.
No.
So, you know, but Jesus loves you unconditionally.
Yes,
there are no conditions at all, period.
You know, when we were little kids, and if you went to Sunday school any at all when you were a little kid, one of the greatest songs you ever learned was Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Right.
And you know, we're all little in God's eyes.
Right.
We're all little children. We're all his children. And I'm going to tell you what, we're weak sometimes. And sometimes we make mistakes or we fall short of the glory of God. But the neat thing about it is he loves you in spite
Amen.
Of that. And all you have to do is just say, Lord, please help me in this area. And he'll help you overcome in those areas because he overcame that you might walk in his victory, you know.
I'm so sorry. We got so busy with the topic and everything, I didn't even open it up to people to call in. I mean, we still would have time if you wanted to call in.
Use the 961-8900 option 1.
Okay. There you go. Mike laid it out for you. So if you have a comment, if you have prayer request, if you, whatever, if you want to just say, hey, we're here listening and you know, been listeners for quite some time, then we'd love to hear from that. So, but anyway, that's 961-8900, number 1, if you have any comments today before we get out of here. I'm going to run this one more time, guys.
Supported WAIF Radio. We're in the middle of our fall member-thon. Help keep WAIF Radio on the air and indicate your support for this show by making a pledge right now. Your gift of $25 or more gives you voting rights at the WAIF annual meeting and the WAIF Alert newsletter. Please call 513-961-8900 or 513-749-1444 right now to make a pledge. You can also pledge online using PayPal by clicking the donate button on our website, www.waif883.org. If you pledge online, please indicate the name of the show you're supporting in the comments section so they get credit. Each show on WAIF has a minimum pledge level to meet, and you can help them reach that goal. Call now 961-8900 or 749-1444 or waif883.org and make your pledge of $25 or more to become a member of listener-supported radio WAIF Cincinnati. Thank you.
Okay, so we're about to wind things down. You've been listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. And we are here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So glad that you've tuned in today. And we will see you next Wednesday. I'm just going to end with that. I think one of the first scriptures is, you know, the truth. We talked about the truth today. Jesus is the truth, and it says the truth will set you free.
Amen.
So guess what? If you're bound up by drugs, if you're bound up by, you know, just stuff. I mean, it could be little things that you're bound up by that just still makes it feel that you're not free. Mm-hmm. You know, just reach out to the Lord today. Reach out to Jesus and just... tell him to take your hand and guide you through the maze of addictions or the maze of bondage or the maze of whatever. Maybe it's your anger. You know, maybe you have anger issues. Maybe it's jealousy. You know, you're jealous of your partner. I mean, there could be all kinds of reasons why you're bound up. And guess what? He is the only way you're going to get free. Yeah, you can go to counseling. Yeah, you can take prescription drugs. Yeah, you can take illegal drugs. It's not going to get you free.
That's right.
Yeah, it may make the pain go away, but it's not going to get you free. So, well, we love you, Cincinnati. We thank you for tuning in. We ask you to come back next week. We'll see you back then.
Adios, guys. I got to...
Stay tuned for Tara Robinson with The Ultimate Risk. So make sure you don't touch that dial. Tara will be here and she'll bring The Ultimate Risk program to you. See you next week.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody sing righteousness.